You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, this is indeed Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards out of town. This is hour two. Last hour we had on Tex Mars, Eddie the Bombardier Miller. Great job, incredible interview to breaking down who on earth is Ted Cruz. Who on earth is Mr. Roberts, the Supreme Court Justice, and more. Check it out. It'll be in the archives soon. But now it's Sam Bushman and Eddie the Bombardier Miller. You ready to go for this one there, Eddie?
I'm ready to go, son, and I congratulate you for keeping me between the ditches tonight. Like I said, I had to swear and I had to write my name in blood to James Edwards that I wouldn't threaten nobody and I wouldn't cuss nobody out. And Keith even took my Bible because Keith said I was the only man that he knew in America that has a holster built into his Bible. So Keith got my Bible and my gun, so I couldn't threaten nobody with that. So, hey, I'm ready to ride. I'm always ready to ride. A shotgun with the one and only Sam Bushman, man. He's the only guy I know of that's smarter than me.
Wow, now that, I don't know if that's a compliment or not. I'm just not sure on that one. We'll have to leave the jury out. Now, let me ask you a question, though.
Yeah.
You have a holster in your Bible. There's another guy that has that, too, but he's not alive anymore, sad to say. His name is Robert Lavoie Finicum.
That's right.
He's dead at the hands of the government. Now, let me give you a 30-second catch-up, y'all. We've been covering on my radio program, Liberty Roundtable Live, virtually daily ever since it started, and on the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool broke the story first because I was live in Boise, Idaho, coming back from Burns, and I was able to jump on with y'all and talk about what was happening in Burns, Oregon, the takeover of the refuge, Ammon Bundy and crew, and the whole story broke it first right here on the Political Cesspool. And so we've been covering it. And the bottom line is things have been getting crazy. Well, things last week took a turn even crazier. And what happened was the federal government was getting anxious indeed. They were getting real anxious indeed. And basically the sheriff said the hourglass is running down and it's almost empty. They're about out of time, people. And we knew the FBI was bringing in more and more and more military assets. The state police was bringing in assets. They had over 400 vehicles. It was just crawling with Oregon State Police and FBI agents. And they started to get less kind, much, much more in-your-face hostile. Now, meanwhile, Ammon Bundy, Ryan Payne, a guy by the name of Buddha, and several others were really running around free. And they were coming in and out of the refuge, and they were really doing a tremendous job educating the people about freedom and about the Constitution. Now, let's be very clear. I disagreed with Ammon and Bundy and those guys taking over that building in the first place. However, I completely agree that they are good, peaceful, honorable men, and I believe they were driven to that extreme action because the Declaration of Independence says, when the government will not let you have a redress of grievance, when the government will not allow due process, at some point, if the government doesn't achieve the ends of the consent of the governed, you must do something about it. And that's where they were. Now, we can debate all day long whether that was justifiable or not. Nevertheless, they took action. I disagreed with the action. However, their education about the proper role of limited government, the realism that land is not the federal government's, it should be with the states in which the land resides in, and the land should be to the people, and government has appropriate limited use of lands, but the list is very defined, very narrow in scope, and is articulated in the Constitution. And that's where these gentlemen were coming from, and they basically were saying, listen, we've got to do something now. Anyway, long story short, they were not getting the support that they needed in the county. They were from the people quite a bit, believe it or not. The mainstream press doesn't want you to know that, but it is true. But what they wanted to do was get appropriate involvement in government so that they could bring forward the records that they had uncovered regarding a redress of grievance and more. And they couldn't get that done in the county they were in because David Ward is a shame for a sheriff, in my humble opinion. He failed to do his duty. That's what created this crisis in the first place.
Amen.
He was derelict in his duty, and therefore he should resign yesterday. And that's a serious, serious problem indeed. However, what they were attempting to do is reach out to the next county to the north. Now, the next county to the north is a county called Grant County. And Grant County, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, has a constitutional sheriff.
Oh.
The constitutional sheriff in Grant County is a personal friend of mine. His name is Glenn Palmer. And so they were attempting to go to Grant County, the county north, have a meeting with the citizenry there, and have a discussion with Glenn Palmer and say, hey, what might we accomplish? How do we parlay this into a real redress of grievance? How do we hold bureaucrats and thugs accountable for their actions? How do we get to the bottom of this corruption in Harney County? And can you help us? So understand, though, that's the setup for what took place last week, Eddie.
And hey, by the way, we have a lot of people in Memphis listening to this because I knew I was going to be on with you tonight, and we got Buku and Swansick people listening to this show tonight, including Lee. And I'd like to apologize if I didn't give Lee enough time. But Sam, why didn't they do something in Grant County? Why didn't Ammon Bundy and Ryan Payne? Why didn't they go to Grant County where they had a constitutional sheriff?
Tell you why. Partly because the refuge that they commandeered, you got to understand the debate about this thing. A lot of people are saying you just can't take over federal buildings. I'm one of them. But I'm going to pretend that I'm Ammon Bundy for a second and play the devil's advocate so you understand. Look, I'm Ammon Bundy right now. I cannot get a redress of grievance. It's horrible. There are no answers. There are no solutions in the courts. And I got to do something radical to get enough attention to really change the game here. So I'm Ammon Bundy, and I say, where can I go? What can I do? And I find a refuge. Now, understand that back in the Bundy Ranch days, 2 years ago, the federal government still is working on filing federal charges against, well, they claim everyone who was there. And so Ammon Bundy's saying, look, the clock's a ticking. They're going to create and file charges against me. They're corrupt. This all get out. I need refuge from these thug government bureaucrats that are going to come after me. I need a refuge. So he finds a refuge in Harney County. And then he looks at it and he says, by golly, there's no trespassing signs on here. In fact, there's signs that say welcome. By golly, I'm just going to walk right into that refuge, open the door. They invited me in, and I'm just going to stay. Now, if you want to get technical, what law did he break?
The
answer is none.
That's right.
So where else could he go where he could literally make a stand, not threaten any of the population, do so in a way that would get big media attention to his cause, and do so in a way that wouldn't break any laws? And that's the part of the reason it took the government so long to arrest them, because it's really hard to say what laws they all broke, sir.
Sam, they really didn't do anything violent, did they? I mean, the whole time they were armed for the teeth.
There's only one group that was violent, and that's the answer is your federal government, which is always the case. That's what we're going to break down in seconds. Eddie, the Bombadil Miller, and Sam Bushman filling in for James Edwards on the Political Cesspool Radio broadcast.
We fought. We learned. We struggled. We won. Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you familiar with the term vigor, strength, in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example. Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T. At libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And now back to tonight's show.
All right, so Sam Bushman and Eddie the Bombardier Miller talking about the Oregon standoff situation. I don't call it a standoff. That's what the government calls it, but they lie at every turn in bed with the government and the media. They all lie. It's not a standoff at all. Listen, Ammon Bundy was sitting with his cowboy hat in the middle of the bleachers. They were out to lunch with people. They were spending time with the ranchers. They weren't taking over anything, and it wasn't a standoff of any kind. That's a lie. The government was arming themselves to the teeth. Now, these people had arms, but they weren't really armed to the teeth. They just said if anybody gets crazy, they need to be able to defend themselves. Otherwise, they were as peaceful as all get out. And believe it or not, there was peace, even though the government made you believe through the mainstream press that it was just crazy and violent. There wasn't a single act of violence, Eddie, until the government went crazy and murdered someone. We'll talk about that in a second. But suffice it to say, this constitutional attorney, Glenn Palmer, and the citizenry of Grant County were going to have a meeting and meet with Ammon Bundy and those guys. And so they took off to go to the meeting, and that's when it all went wrong, my friend.
You know, Sam, I'm going to throw a question to you before you go on. You know what, Sam, I love working with you. Every time we work together, James said that me and you together are like nitro and glycerin. I have 10,000 things going in my mind because you push every button I have. How about this scenario here? Let's just say there's some survivors left, and they can go through and copy kind of a John Jay, what he said, John Jay being the very first Supreme Court justice of the Supreme Court. He said, and I believe it or not, I'm going to make a point, John Jay said that every time a man comes into a courtroom to be tried for any offense, he said the law, the very law itself is on trial. A grand jury, even it doesn't need to be a grand jury, it could be any jury, a citizen's jury in a courtroom, can declare of the law a non-law. They can say that's a bad law. They can nullify it, so to speak.
Of course they can. It's a fully informed jury. Yes, they can do that. And that's exactly what the government was afraid of, Eddie, because if these guys went to Grand County.
There, that was where I was going.
Or Grant County. And if they had favor with the citizenry there and favor with a constitutional sheriff there, and if he would, listen carefully, if he would legitimately form a fully informed grand jury authorized by the
constitutional
sheriff, then all of a sudden now all the corruption will come spiraling down and the truth will be known. And the government just could not have that. So here's what happened. They were driving on a road from the refuge to John Day, Oregon, which is in Grant County with the constitutional sheriff, Glenn Palmer. The government tries to, again, like they told you, all these, you know, protesters were violent, radical, crazy. There was no violence. They lied, okay? They were peaceful. I knew several of them personally, especially their leader, Ammon Bundy. I know him the best of everybody in the group. Nevertheless, there was no violence. Now, the federal government tells you they just did a traffic stop. That could not be further from the truth. That is an absolute, complete fabrication lie. The government had incredible intel, and they literally took cars that were two or three car lengths ahead of them and allowed them to go, and they locked down in the middle of a canyon, a very curvy canyon, with a forest of trees all around, and they literally created a cordoned off, barricaded off forest, and I'm going to call it what it is. The Oregon FBI shooting was indeed an intentional, hostile ambush, Eddie.
You know, Sam, those people are so fortunate. God himself saved the entire party from being slaughtered by the by those.
I concur. I agree.
That's the only thing to save it. Sam, you were reading. I was reading your mind. You were reading my mind. We were the exact same wavelength. Sam, going back.
And their whole goal was to stop them from that meeting, because if they did, the federal government, the state of Oregon, and the local municipalities in Harney County that are all corrupt as all get out would have an absolute impossible time stopping it. So they did. They created a hostile ambush, and they literally killed Mr. Robert Lavoie Finicum. Now, there's a lot of controversy about this, and I'm going to break it down for you so you have the facts. It is true that the federal government released the FBI video. They say it's complete, unedited. I don't believe them.
Me neither.
Right? And I'll tell you the first reason I don't is because there's 4 minutes of blackout spot in the middle of their video. And my question is, what were they doing during that? Nevertheless, it is a video that is taken from a distance, from a helicopter. And of course, when you take it that far with a helicopter, there is no audio, Eddie.
Aha.
They did that on purpose. Now, I believe they have video on the ground with audio, but they're not giving that to us as of yet. Now, here's the question. Let's just get this out of the way. Did our government use unnecessary lethal force? The answer is yes. Without question, they did. Now, there's a witness named Mark McConnell who claimed that Finicum was shot and killed while charging police. First off, we've proven that wrong from the video, and now he's come forward and said that he basically lied. Now, there's another witness. Her name is Victoria Sharp, but her real name is Virginia Sharp, I think. Nevertheless, Miss Sharp is probably the most credible witness, but I'm going to tell you what she got correct and what she was wrong on, and I'm going to tell you why she was wrong. Victoria Sharp said that Finicum was shot while he was walking with his hands up. The answer, that is mostly true. He had his hands up for the most part. He did dip his hands down. We could debate the reasons, but he had his hands up for the most part. Some say he put his hands down to steady himself in the snow. Some say he put his hands down to get a gun. That's the FBI's narrative. And voila, they claim they found a gun in the left pocket of his jacket. But others say, no, he was opening his coat to show that he had no weapons. And the last idea is that he was opening his coat to see how bad he had been shot. Nevertheless, her statement that he had his hands up the whole time is not true. It's mostly true. He did absolutely have his hands up to show that he was not a threat. That is beyond debate.
He had no gun. There was never
no. Hold on.
Sight.
Hold on. Here we go. Listen carefully. Sharp also claims that none of the individuals in the car pulled out a gun at any point. That is wrong.
Oh.
Now, Finnegan never pulled out a gun, and he's dead. But Ryan Bundy, who came out of the car after that, did indeed have a gun in his hand. He was holding the gun by the barrel, and he had his hands up. And we don't have audio, so we can't confirm this, but we assume when he came out with his hands up and the gun in his hand, held by the barrel, somebody in the government said, drop your gun, and he did. The interesting thing is, he lived.
That is...
So you say, why did the guy who had the gun live and the guy who didn't have a gun but was reaching for a gun die? And I'll get to that in a minute. But the bottom line is, when Victoria or Virginia Sharp says none of the individuals in the car pulled a gun or had a gun, she's wrong. Now, Victoria further claims the incident was an ambush with FBI snipers in the trees. She is indeed correct. Now, Greg Bretzing, he's the FBI agent in charge for the FBI in Oregon. He says there are various versions of what occurred during this horrible event. Most of them inaccurate, some of them inflammatory. Well, he's right about that. Gretzing also said that the video showed Finnegan reaching for a weapon. On at least two occasions, he reached towards his left pocket of his jacket to get a weapon. That is absolutely debatable. Then the FBI says he did have a loaded MM automatic handgun in that packet or that pocket. I guess we have to rely on the government for that. Although I'll tell you a story in a second. Hang tight. This is the Political Cesspool on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Listen, do you hear that sound? It started low, but it's getting progressively louder. Into a crescendo, even louder. Irresistible, ending in an ear-splitting blast of mass disruption. That's the sound of America's economic and political systems crashing to the ground. But we have a plan. We will be ready to restore political sanity. We will be ready to answer the call of productive America. We will restore America's industrial base and put America back to work. We will shut down political correctness and restore decency and positive media to America. We will save our Constitution, our traditional way of life, our customs, and religion. We will restore sound money and crush the debt-based system of monetary slavery. And we will end America's foreign misadventures. We are the American Freedom Party, and we have a plan. Learn more about us, theamericanfreedomparty.us.
We are calling all Christians to join the solemn cause to make America great again. Donald Trump has been called of God to lead our people away from the destructive course we have traveled for the last 50 years. It is important for all Christians to recognize God's hand in the future course of this nation and the vessels that he uses to accomplish his purposes. Galatians tells us that one who is taught the word must share it with the one who teaches. We must share the word with Donald Trump. We must influence Donald Trump. Please contribute to the Trump Super PAC. Let your influence be felt. Please call 212-391-1586. That's 212-391-1586. Or go to thedailytrump.org. That's thedailytrump.org. Have a blessed day. Paid for by the American National Trump Super PAC.
The Occidental Quarterly fills a unique niche in bringing together scholarly articles on a wide range of topics that are mired in political correctness elsewhere. It is edited by Professor Kevin McDonald, who's no stranger to listeners of the Political Cesspool. There are quite a few reasons for the precarious state of our civilization and our people. But one of the main ones is that we have lost the intellectual and moral high ground to a cultural elite that is hostile to our people and our culture. Those of us who are politically aware must understand that the elites dominating culture and the political process in the West are intellectually and morally bankrupt. TOQ is the key. Digital download subscriptions are only $30 a year. Subscriptions by first class mail are only $60 a year. Go to toqonline.com and click on subscribe now. In addition to receiving fascinating and informative articles, you will also be supporting the work of scholars who are part of a community defending our people and our culture with the highest level of integrity and intellectual sophistication. That's toqonline.com. Subscribe now.
Oh yeah, oh.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, really quick, Sam Bushman and Eddie the Miller filling in for James Edwards, who's out of town. We're talking about this issue in Oregon. And one of the commercials was GiveMeLibertyFund.com. And Eddie, you know, I said, hey, Sam, explain what that is. People pay less than a dollar a day. And what happens is that money is spent to promote the conservative constitutional cause, to fund liberty, if you will. And what happens is individuals donate less than a dollar a day. Then individuals become part of this less than a dollar a day club, and they can buy from businesses who give them discounts for being a Give Me Liberty Fund member. And then what happens is the businesses benefit, the consumers benefit, and we take that money and fund incredible political causes. We funded a lot of the CSPOA events and efforts. We then took some money and funded a reporter who was trying to stay in Burns, Oregon to give us the inside scoop on the ground. We took some of that Give Me Liberty Fund money and helped fund his hotel costs. So that's what it's used for, GiveMeLibertyFund.com. All right, so Greg Bretzing, he's the FBI agent. He said, yeah, Fittigum had a gun in his left pocket. He had a 9mm semi-automatic gun in that pocket. But we're forced to believe the government on that one. I know a person who went out to lunch with Finicum right before that, and he was unarmed. So the plot thickens.
Uh-huh.
Now, I believe I have the most unique view of all on this idiot on this video from the FBI. Eddie, and let me tell you why I think that, and you can decide if you agree. I can't see the video at all because it has no audio, and there's nothing I can do with this video whatsoever personally because I'm a totally blind person. So here's what I did instead. I literally interviewed 25 to 30 people, and I asked them all the same questions, and where they were absolutely convinced, I documented that. Where they were the same on something, I documented that. Where they weren't sure or they were different or had different takes, I documented that. And I've formed my view from that. And so I submit that Sam, as a blind person, almost has the most unique view of all on that video. Because remember, if Eddie sees it or you see it, you're going to be convinced whatever you think it's, you know, shows is right. I don't have that. What I have is, I'll give you an example. When they say that he was charging the cops, out of the 30 people I interviewed, and by the way, several of them have law enforcement investigative experience. Some of them are video, audio experts, so they know when videos have been edited or manipulated. The people that I've interviewed aren't just Joe Blows. Although some of them were just the average citizen that I put in. I did my very best to get a real sampling. And so, for example, when they say that he was charging the cops, it is not the truth. When they say that he was, you know, kneeling down with his hands up, begging not to be shot, and they killed him in cold blood, that is not true. When they say that he was reaching for his gun, that is incredibly debatable. I told you, some people believe he was reaching for a gun. Some people believe he was trying to steady himself in the snow. Others believe that he was trying to open up his jacket to see how bad he had been shot. The debates rage on, but I'm fair as I could be in my assessment. Okay, we know this. Finicum took off. His car was under fire. He came to a barricade. He almost hit a police officer because the cop tried to jump in front of the car, which is kind of one of the most stupid things you could possibly do. I don't know what he was thinking. But then he turns his car and he rams it into the snowbank instead of the barricade. Some say he was trying to get around the barricade. Others say, no, he just didn't want to hit the barricade hard. He'd rather hit the snow. I don't know. But I do know this. When this Victoria Sharp says, or Virginia Sharp says, there were snipers in the trees, she's right. When she says they gassed the vehicle with tear gas, it's proven. The FBI's admitted it. You can see it on the video now. Now, she also said, though, that there was more than 120 shots. And at first, that made us think she was not credible. However, now we've actually had some Oath Keepers go into the yard where the car is now, and they confirm that the windows are all shot out of the vehicle and that there is not bullet holes in the car, but there is a bunch of dents, which would be consistent with rubber bullets and flashbang tear gas. And so if you're a little girl that's 18 years old and you're on the floorboard of the car so you don't get shot and you hear all that stuff hit your car, she's not lying when she says she believes there was that many shots. She's telling the truth. It's just not quite accurate, right?
Correct. Absolutely correct. Sam, what you describe reminds me of, and people may think I'm nuts for saying this, kind of reminds me of a flow chart you use in microbiology when you're trying to distinguish one microorganism from another. You do. You have a flow sheet, and you try different tests. You try acid fast. Will it react to acid fast? Is it gram positive? Is it methyl red? Is it methyl blue? What you've done, Sam, I don't know if you realize it or not, but it's strictly scientific.
I know exactly what I've done. I've done it on purpose. So I've confirmed through the Oath Keepers that those dents, she didn't lie about those shots. She really believed they were shots. She wasn't exactly accurate because they were rubber bullets and they were flashbang tear gas. That was inserted into the car.
Well, it just wasn't bullets. They were shot with rubber bullets and the grenades, you know. But technically, I guess it was a shot. Just wouldn't a bullet, a killing.
Yeah, because at first we said she can't be credible. How can that be? I mean, there'd be more people that would be killed or shot if that was the case. Well, now it explains why they weren't, but yet she would think that. So she didn't lie one bit, but she was not quite accurate. She also didn't really realize that Ammon Bundy held his gun up by the barrel. But she wasn't lying. She was telling the truth to the best of her ability. When she says there was gas there, when she says there were snipers in the trees, she was right on most of the things that she said. Now, the real debate comes down to the government says he had a gun. He was reaching for it. That's why we killed him. I disagree with their narrative completely, and I'll tell you why I do. We use rubber bullets on the border with rapists, drug kingpins, and all kinds of sex traffickers and everything else. And on the border, we use rubber bullets, Eddie. Why do they have to use a lethal round to murder this young man? He was actually 55. He's not too young. But why do they have to use lethal force against Finnicum? And they don't. But I'll explain to you, in my personal view, we're leaving scientific reality now. We're adding conjecture. But here's my take. Are you ready?
And as soon as you get through, I got to put in. I got another comment to make.
All right, let's step back really quick and say this: the government does profiles on people, and the profiles decide how you will behave in given situations. They decide how your relationships with others affect, etc. And I'm going to take you back to Ruby Ridge to make my point. In Ruby Ridge, they shot Vicky Weaver, the mother, and Lon Horiuchi, the satanic government sniper, murdered her in cold blood.
And bragged about it.
He shot her while she was standing in the door of her cabin with a baby in her arms, and she was unarmed. I repeat, she was unarmed. And when everybody tried to find out why they would do that, the answer came back that she was Queen Bee. What that meant was she was the most important stabilizing, organizing factor in that family, and they knew that if they took her out, the whole family would disintegrate. And they were absolutely correct. Not that I support the murder. I'm just saying that was their view, and they were right.
Wow, that is chilling. That is satanic.
It is. It's evil. No question. Now, when you step forward to this current case, there was one man who held the key to the whole exercise. His name was Robert Lavoy Finnicum, 55-year-old, the father of 11 children. They were foster children, but he nevertheless cared for them all. He was a gentleman. He was a nice guy. Believe it or not, I actually have distant relatives that relate to him. But anyway, they knew that if they took out Lavoie Finicum, they would murder the father of the, quote, in their minds, insurrection. And they knew that if they got rid of that king bee, that everything would fall apart, and they proved they were right once again. But here's what happened. They did not want Finicum to live. They did not want him. They knew how he would react. They knew that it would not go well. He did flee from the police, which is wrong. He did come out with his hands up, but he did make some movements that are questionable. But nevertheless, they could have saved his life. And I have several examples of what they could have done that would have been simpler, better, and more effective. But they intentionally created, I'm going to say it again, a hostile ambush. And they used lethal force to kill Lavoie Finicum. And the reason they did it is because they knew if they could get rid of him, the whole thing would fall apart. Now, interestingly enough, he is a rancher. He's in land battles and water battles with the BLM. What if he got his court cases with a constitutional sheriff?
In Grant County.
With a real, fully informed grand jury. They were afraid that was going to happen, and they could not let it happen. Therefore, they killed the king bee. Quick pause, more in seconds. You are listening to The Political Cesspool on your radio.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Get on the show, call us on James's dime at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, bottom line, the FBI, Oregon shooting of Mr. Finicum was indeed a hostile ambush and, I believe, unnecessary. Lethal, forced, used. It was wrong. They did it because they knew they could basically only have one life lost, but shut down a whole movement. You see, the government will not allow and cannot allow a real, constitutional, fully informed grand jury empowered by a constitutional sheriff to take place, because if they do, all their tyrannical corruption unwinds and melts down. And they knew if they could kill the king, the leader, Mr. Lavoie Finicum, who was a rancher, who had every reason to be there and everything to lose, they knew full well if they could stop him. And so I personally believe they killed him. Now, I can't call it murder because it's kind of like Vietnam, Eddie. And you'll probably understand this well. I'm not going to hold the guys in the field exactly responsible for what happened and what they were forced to do. Many of them felt betrayed. Many of them felt like they were not dealt with right. Many of them felt with they went forward with a certain understanding that wasn't factual, but they were deceived. And that may be true of some of the people on the ground there as well that were in the state police or the FBI or who knows who where. But I will tell you this. The reason that I'm so convinced that it was lethal force and that they wanted to kill Finicum is because they could have waited until the group was having a meeting with the constitutional sheriff, Glenn Palmer, and they could have either, one, asked to attend that meeting, and then right at the end said, gentlemen, you're not going anywhere. They could have easily staked out that right when they walked out, said, gentlemen, you're under arrest. There's so many ways they could have taken these people peacefully. Remember, these guys weren't held up behind barricades, armed to the teeth, like the government and the mainstream press wants you to think. They were meeting with ranchers. They were going out to lunch. Ammon Bundy walked straight into the FBI headquarters at the airport and asked if he could sit down and talk. These people were inviting people into the refuge to eat soup and to discuss land and how to solve things. Now, one last point to make. This refuge, the other reason they took it, not only was it welcome and there's a refuge, so it's pretty hard to say they violated any laws, especially when they freely came and went. Ammon Bundy went home to his wife many nights during this so-called standoff. I'm calling it an impasse. But the reason they took that location is because it is a treasure trove of records for the BLM. And they literally have gained about five binders or so of records that will absolutely prove corruption. One simple example to make my point. You know, one of the goals of this effort is to free the Hammonds, an innocent ranching family who's been abused by the government, and they've been basically called terrorists for lighting a fire. And they've been put in prison for 5 years.
Samuel, where did they get those records you just referenced?
I just told you, it's in the refuge.
Okay, okay.
That's why they took that location, because it had all these records.
Okay, I didn't realize that.
And that gave them the control of the records. Now, here's the point. The government told you that lightning lit the first fire, and then the Hammonds lit a backfire to stop it.
Right.
But the truth is, the government lit that fire, not lightning at all, and the proof is they have two witnesses in the video that they found at the refuge.
Sam, you know what? 2 points. You know, one, from what you told me, and I know, and I can tell our listeners that Sam is super well informed because he's best friends with Ammon Bundy. He knows. He just referenced that he knows.
I wouldn't say best friends. I know him well, though.
He's been well acquainted with Lavoie Finicum, the man who was killed, and has a distant relative of him. So Sam knows what he's talking about. They could have. I don't think Finicum was ever going to get out alive. I think that they were going to kill him from. That's why they picked that. Sounds like a deserted canyon with as few witnesses as they could.
That's exactly right. There's no cell phone coverage there. There's no way to go backwards or forwards. It's very windy and twisty. It's a 2-lane road. It's got trees all around it. It's forested. There's no video but your government video, my friend. Now, one last point. Finicum was very foolish in his statements, though. He's the one that did some TV interviews under a blue tarp. He's the one that told everybody, I'm going to sit out here with my gun on my knees because if they're going to take me, I'm going to at least go down fighting. He was the one that made very reckless statements like, I'm never going to go behind bars. I'd rather die on my feet than being a slave on my knees, kind of an idea. So he pretty much, sad to say, made a lot of the wrong moves, which I'm sure aided in their lethal force agenda. I'm not saying it justifies it, but I am saying foolish statements like that from Finicum did not help.
Well, the feds, as we well know, they're very diabolical. They don't pick up anything. They don't miss anything. They pick up on everything, and you're absolutely right. Sam, let me ask you a burning question. I think this may be probably one of the biggest questions of the night. Now, what is the possibility? You may not know the facts. What is the possibility of a citizen's fully informed constitutional grand jury being formed, possibly in, say, in Grant County, possibly someplace else?
All right, well, let me stop you there and say this. There are citizen grand juries that people believe. They're common law grand juries. People believe they're legitimate. They don't have any tie to government. They're bogus and erroneous, okay?
Well, I mean,
however, hold on. I want to make that very clear because there's people trying to get them to organize one of those. They're not real. They're not valid. They're no good. However, if you can get a real sheriff and if you can get a real grand jury created, then the answer to your question with a fully informed jury is real high. Now,
that's exactly what I mean.
Now, here's the answer to your question. The information that Ammon Bundy and those guys did find in the refuge, the binders that I told you with evidence of corruption, all the way to the highest levels, by the way.
Wow.
Okay, that information has been preserved.
Oh, great. That's great.
I've talked to several people, and I know that it's preserved, and it's preserved outside of the state of Oregon in multiple locations. That is a fact.
Well, they need, Sam, you well know, just like I do, they need to have more copies where the feds couldn't come in and get rid of it.
It's already done, sir.
Okay, great. Well, you know, Sam, now, was anybody in that caravan, the Patriots, were any of them from Grant County? And would you have to be a citizen from Grant County? I don't know enough about that.
Well, here's the problem. If it was only a grand, let's start over. Harney County is the original county, okay?
Right.
So if you want to deal with corruption in Harney County, you'd need to have a Harney County citizen do that. There's several ranchers that are willing to. However, if you say that it has to do with the FBI and the BLM, and the state of Oregon, etc., all involved in the corruption, now you don't have to be part of any of those things in Harney County. You could do it in Grand County. You could do it even outside of the state, for that matter. So that's what's being looked at now, and there's attorneys that are working on it right now.
That's the best news I've heard, and I don't know how long, Sam. That really is a... you know what, Sam? You know, I think you get there better than I do. And I know you're a lot more informed about the fully informed constitutional grand jury. Matter of fact, you know, last October, I used all of your material, Sam, to talk about that stuff. I really remember now, the constitutional sheriff, constitutional grand jury.
Now, let me give you two quick tidbits that you got to know before the end of the hour. On my show on Friday, second hour, so libertyroundtable.com, second hour, Friday's broadcast, I had two gentlemen on the radio with me. One of them was Sheriff David A. Clark, Jr. of Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Okay.
The second one was Sheriff Richard Mack. And we talked about, we got to make sure we don't make things worse. We also need to realize that the FBI video without audio is more than incomplete. We cannot make too many judgments till we have more info. But we talked about the authority of the Constitutional County Sheriff. Now, Michael Savage, I don't know if you know this, he's demanding a full investigation into the Oregon murder.
Okay, the DJ, the radio guy, Michael
yes.
Savage? Wow, I'm surprised.
However, here's the problem with his proposal. He says we're going to fight this dirty, evil government. I'm demanding an investigation, but then he goes off the rails. Here's what he says. I'm demanding the Attorney General, in other words, Loretta Lynch, send a task force into Oregon. In other words, have the federal government investigate themselves. He's crazy. Then he says, if they don't get it done, if the feds won't, we need to get the United Nations to look into it. He's ran off the rails.
Yeah, do you think he ran off the rails on purpose, Sam?
I do, yes.
Yeah.
Now,
yes.
I do believe that we need the right people to look into this from the right perspective, and the last thing we need is the federal government to be involved, and the last thing we need is the international tribunals to be involved. We need to have a good constitutional sheriff led by a fully informed grand jury that has authority to operate and full scope of subpoena.
And, Sam, you know what? I'm going to have to call the people to prayer because I think without prayer, I don't think we have a hope of getting that through there, Sam. Sam, I admire you so much.
Well, prayer got most of them out alive, sir, and prayer's our next effort. That and a lot of hard work. And you know what? We're just going to do our very best.
We sure are, Sam. I tell you what, as long as we do the best we can do, we're commanded to stay here and occupy. You know, we certainly are. Sam, I tell you what, I'm so glad I was able to sit in with you. That gives me great hope. We need to do this again. We need to keep up with this every week. We need to get the people behind us. I'm so glad that you were able to come in and do this. I'm going to go and listen to the archives and keep. I'm going to be glued to Liberty News Radio and the Liberty Roundtable and see how this goes. God, we need the help of Almighty God. This, you know what, Sam? This could be a great turning point in getting our nation back.
We have a road to hoe, my friend. That's for sure. We got to do our best and trust in the Almighty for the rest. We need to also make sure, as the good sheriff told us, you know, we need to make sure not to make things worse. We need to make sure we don't just jump to conclusions of things we don't know. Okay, I don't know whether he's reaching for a gun or not. Okay, we don't know that, and to say we do is foolish.
And people need to join Sam. Get that back again. The dollar a day.
All right, it's GiveMeLibertyFund.com.
We need money to get this done, people.
GiveMeLibertyFund.com and LibertyRoundtable.com for my talk show. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Have a delightful evening.
Cesspool is in the can, but don't go away. There's more to come right here on the Liberty News Radio Network.